Welcome to the weekly Dharma Talk podcast from the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling Buddhist Meditation Center. This week's Dharma Talk is entitled Calling the Guru from Afar, Part 1, by Kathy Lamo Jackson. In the late 19th century, a great Tibetan Buddhist master named Jamgon Khantro the Great wrote one of the most beautiful liturgies, touching on the joys and sorrows of the human condition and appealing for the blessing of his spiritual master to help him overcome his faults and difficulties. This type of prayer, calling the Lama from afar, is a genre of Tibetan Buddhist literature that helps us to see the importance of spiritual life and how to pursue it. If you like our Dharma Talk series, please consider donating to Columbus Karma Teksum Choling at columbusktc.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Lamo Jackson. I'm one of the meditation instructors and mentors of Columbus KTC. And today's class will be on a very special prayer I love called Calling to the Lama from Afar. It's also called Crying to the Guru from Afar. It just depends on who the translator is. So we're going to talk a little bit about why we would do this practice. Then we'll talk about the author of the practice and then get to the actual prayer. So I had said earlier, if you could possibly look up the text Calling the Lama from Afar on a website called Dharma eBooks. What you're looking for, there are a lot of translations of this text. And there are a lot of texts called Calling the Lama from Afar or Crying to the Lama from Afar that are not the one I'm talking about. The one I want today is the one by Jamgon Khantro Lodur Thay. He's the author. And you might find ones in English also, which is great. But today, because the chant masters do this in Tibetan and they do it in the most beautiful tune that just evokes loving kindness, compassion, and connection with our teachers, that I thought it would be nice to do it the more traditional way. We probably won't do the entire text because it takes at least 25 to 35 minutes to chant, depending who you are and what chanter you are. So let's talk about why I like this supplication. And, you know, some of us were in a meeting with Lama Kathy yesterday, and she brought up a very good point. There are a lot of Tibetan prayers, and this is a type of a prayer. But this one is unique. We're actually praying to the guru symbolically and physically. But what's interesting is this is a very special genre. Many of you probably are familiar with doing your refuge prayer in the morning or taking your bodhisattva vows. That's a really special prayer. You do a deity practice such as Chenrezig, or you do Mundro, Amitabha, Karmapakshi. There's such a variety in our lineage. Or you might be brand new and you just learned how to meditate. Welcome. And this is appropriate for you also. This is nice to learn about. And I remember hearing this prayer, the supplication, because I remember being at events in India, sitting. I was very, very blessed where I've been able to be in my life, sitting under the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya, India. And Tibetan monks would come, just plop, sit down, put their hands in prayer, and start chanting, because this is something most Tibetans do since they're children. And so, So I just thought, why not? We should talk about this a little bit more. But personally speaking, this is why I chose this. Many years ago, I was in a retreat. I was only able to be there for 9 months, but it completely changed my practice. And this is a building with 11 other people. It was all women, and we were all in separate rooms. And the room right in front of me, I was near the end. In the very end room, right in front of me, hired by this very sweet French that had a British accent. It was great. She was brilliant. She's very dedicated to Sitarupa Rinpoche. And because she danced, and this retreat was in upstate New York, she couldn't bring pictures and all that. She couldn't bring a lot of statues, I mean. So she just had pictures of Tsitsi Rinpoche all over her walls. And I thought, well, that's amazing. I had met His Eminence Tsitsi Rinpoche and knew how profound he was, an amazing teacher. But he was one of his actual students. I was just kind of a tertiary student that had just been to a few of his teachings. And once a month, I would hear, and she was like quiet as a mouse. Well, mice aren't that quiet, but she was quiet, which is really nice to have a quiet neighbor in retreat. So it made me much quieter because I'm pretty clean. Once a month, I hear this amazing song come out of her late at night. And she was almost had this really high soprano voice. I forget what, almost contralto. I don't know what that was called. And she had a bit of a falsetto when she sang. And she would sing some song for about 30 minutes. So after the second month, I finally asked her what it was. And she showed me, and it was this text. And then years later, I was at a Mikyo Dorje, fourth session of Guru Yoga Retreat, AKTD. And on the first day in the afternoons, we did, it was four sessions each day, about an hour and a half each. And towards the late afternoon, everyone kind of shifted a little bit. All the Tibetans did the text, luckily. And I didn't sing it in Tibetan. I wanted to first read it in English. And it was so beautiful. I couldn't get over the beauty of the text. Now, what many of you are probably familiar with sadhanas, which are very beautiful, very, very beautiful. But Tibetans are famous for their poetry. And this supplication has a bit of a flavor of poetry to it also. And also they're brilliant with imagery. And that's what this has. So today's class, let me see the timeline. So today's class, we'll go through this a little bit. And I wonder, can anyone write back to tell me if you found the text on Dharma eBooks? It's a little rich. So, you know, what I do is I have it on my phone and then I have it on my iPad. That's kind of how I have to work it because there's no way you can watch me and do it there also. Thanks, everyone, for your responses. I'll get used to this format. So, well, then let me take a moment, drink of water. And if any of you have this text in Tibetan and transliteration, it would look like this. You could always go run and get it from your pages, because we are going to do Tibetan and we'll do English. All right, so let me tell you where you can get a nice English copy if the Tibetan's too hard. So Dharma eBooks had it in, you probably clicked English. So it will be written in Tibetan with transliteration and then English underneath. But there are actual just straight out English text, English translations you can get online. And that one, I'll type it right now. This is a great website to learn about. It's called Rinpoche. This is Trungpa Rinpoche's site, rinpoche.com. Oh, I think it's .com. Let me look on my phone. Well, either it's rinpoche.com or rinpoche.org. And what's so amazing is the very first screenshot shows all these different, you can click on Trungpa Rinpoche's teachings. And so this is for the English text. I'm sorry we're doing all this housekeeping here. But the English text is nice to have too. And so one translation that is very nice is on Trungpa Rinpoche's site. You would go to the first site. So it's rinpoche.com, and you will get this screen of Trungpa Rinpoche. You all must see that. And expand a little bit and go to teachings and prayers and open that up again and go to devotional prayers of the Kagyupas. And under there, you will find crying to the gurus from afar. I love when they put the word crying in there. So there's that one. And that's a very nice English translation. And the very last thing if you would like a more expanded explanation of the practice, which I'm going to be using this text from today. This is so there are two places that you could further your understanding of this text. My class is just a hello, this is what this is. But to really dig deep, it's nice to study something. And I would highly recommend watching YouTube. Yay, love YouTube. Watching YouTube and bring up the fourth Jamo Khantra Rinpoche, 2012, Calling the Lama from Afar. Just put Calling the Lama Jamgon, and it should show probably him. He's sitting behind, in front of Gold Throne. This was his first major teaching he ever gave. It was brilliant. It was 1 hour on a really long text, and he just condensed it so beautifully. So you want to study it even more than that? Go to Trangu, Canada. And this is Trangu Rinpoche's monastery in British Columbia, Canada. And they did a 4-day teaching on it. That's just brilliant. So just put in those, and then you'll find more things on YouTube. So YouTube has a lot. And YouTube also has Lama Karma. You all know who Lama Karma is, I hope. So Lama Karma on YouTube, and it will be him chanting it in Tibetan. So I think we've covered everything now. We've gotten you a text, but I think that it's really nice, particularly to have the first text I talked about from Dharma eBooks. It's the word Dharma, and then, oh, here's a direct link. Lama Adam put the direct link for Dharma eBooks. So there's an actual direct link to the text. And that's nice because it has the Tibetan, so you can chant Tibetan with everyone. It also has the English, so when you're studying it, you can really very richly study it. So I think that's kind of covered the introduction. So now let's talk a little bit about, I'm so used to having my props of using PowerPoint and stuff, but so this is kind of good for me. So let's talk about who wrote this text. This is actually, let's call it a supplication. It was Jamgon Khantra Lodur Thai. He was the first Jamgon Khantra. He lived from 1813 to 1899. He was considered absolutely brilliant, very compassionate, and loved writing. And more than writing, I would say finding, he was a treasure revealer. So he actually, there are all these books under his name, but many times he writes that he found those texts and he just edited them. So there were so many texts at that time that were getting lost. And that's what a treasure revealer does. They find things that are needed at that time. And so he found so many things, including so many that many of you do Mundro. He's the author of that. He did the commentary on that text, on the Torch of Certainty. There's just so many of our texts and practices that he has done and enriched. So he was asked by many people to write something, and this is what he composed. And he was a student of one of the earlier Sita Rinpoches. He was one of the tutors of the 15th Karmapa, and he lived during the time primarily of the 14th Karmapa. And he was part of a very special movement called Rime. I think some of you might have heard of it. It was the Rime movement. Him, Dingo Kinsi Rinpoche, Jamyang Kensi, Chogyi Lodro, so many, and several other teachers came together from very different Tibetan Buddhist schools. So they represented Nyingma, Shakyapa, Karmakagyu, and Galupa. They all came together and they decided to pare down the enormous amount of, so many texts are commentaries, and they pared it all down, and they didn't, most of them and they really encourage practicing your lineage, but just to be aware of that there is a more streamed down version, you might say. So it became very practical for the everyday person to be able to practice Buddhism again without spending 10 hours a day chanting something. So I think, and he was a very practical person on that. He wrote a retreat manual. He wrote a manual, a teaching, a book just on the relationship between a student and a teacher. He just wrote such practical things. So anyway, I don't want to go in too much about him this time, but I'll save a little bit for the next time. So he was very, very brilliant. And we owe, I would say, a great deal of our texts to him, and a great deal of the Holy Dharma that has moved forward into our lives is due in part to him. So we should just take a moment and give thanks to who he was and who he is. So his later on, as his incarnations went on after he passed, they were very complex. I think one had 25 emanations. And one of them was the 15th Karmapa's son. Yes, he had a son. And that was Karsi Rinpoche, who was Kempo Karcho Rinpoche, my teacher's guru. So my teacher felt very, very close to Jama Kancho Rinpoche because that was his teacher. So then he passed that, the second Jama Kancho Rinpoche, and then the third came around in the 50s. So I remember so vividly at our center back in, it had to be around 1988. This is when we rented a space on the second floor, or third floor, I think, of a building on High Street near campus. And it was this vast, vast room. And Jama Rinpoche was there. And he was giving some brilliant teachings. And Kempo Karcho Rinpoche was with him, attending him, which was brilliant. And the translator was Ngodrup Burkhar, who was just really incredible. And Ngodrup had lost, they had just come from South America. And Ngodrup lost all his clothes. So he went off to find clothes at lunchtime, whereas Jama Rinpoche and Kempo Rinpoche came and ate at my house because I was right down the street. And I had Lama Adam will get a kick out of that. This Lama Sultram was assisting me cooking and because I needed some help. And I remember, so Kempo Karcho Rinpoche didn't speak English, so we had to rely on Jama Rinpoche. And I'll never forget, Jama Rinpoche asked if he could look at my bookcase. And I realized three or four of the books right in front of me were it, you know, from a previous lifetime, were his that he had written. He went upstairs to my shrine, and I had a very old, sweet tortoiseshell cat who liked my shrine. It was kind of her room. And she was sitting there, and so they blessed the shrine, both he and Kempo Karcho Rinpoche. Then they actually tossed a little rice on my cat. You know, she's sitting on her haunches. She didn't move. So he asked me to go downstairs and get more rice. When I came back up, there were like 4 inches of rice around my cat. I have no idea what went on. She lived to like 18 or 19. Her name was Tara. And so they definitely blessed my sweet cat. And so that was very special to have him there. He was very, very, very loving, very natural around everyone. He died at a young age. And then he was reborn with the fourth. And the fourth is the one that gave the teaching that I referred to. He's now taken on another path in his life, not necessarily as being a Rinpoche, but I wish him well. He's very brilliant. Just this one teaching, you watch him in on YouTube, you'll see how he was just he's such a natural teacher. I know he's really into photography and other things, and he's still a very close friend of Kali Rinpoche, and him were peers. So so that'll be interesting to see how they go on with their lives. So the teaching today that I'm going to be using will be from both of the second, the third and the fourth Karmapa. I'll say this over again. I have a little headache today. I'm so sorry. The teachings are from the third and the fourth Jhama Rinpoche. The main part of it will be from the third. But I really liked the teachings by the fourth Jhama Rinpoche. And so he broke the text, the supplication, into four parts, whereas the other teaching was a slightly different one, but let's go through them. So what I really love is when they go through it this way. So he talks about the title. So the title is, it's also in Tibetan called Lama Jongbu. So I should type that up because a lot of Tibetans will always refer to it as that. And we'll go through this, what it means. Okay. Of course, the translation is calling the Lama from afar. But let's go through some of the parts of this. So what does the word Lama mean? I think many of you probably know. But if you're studying Tibetan at all, it's two words. It's from Lana Mepa and Ma, or Ma's mother, or female. And here would be a good word, or the highest of teachers. So we consider, for most of us, in our regular lives, our mother definitely was our highest teacher, right? I mean, the mother, she nurtured us in so many ways, physically, emotionally, as a teacher, just such a support. And yes, we've all probably had challenges with our mothers, but I cherish the memories I have of my mother, who's now passed. She was an amazing teacher in so many ways. I have fond memories of her making me sit on her bed in the evening, because in those days you only had one little living room. So I would sit on her bed and she would quiz me on English words or my math or history. She was just loved to do that. So she was truly a great teacher. So let's move on now. So we're now talking about our spiritual teacher. And our spiritual teacher, I know there's some controversy with spiritual teachers these days. And it's really terrible, some of the things that have happened. But I'm not talking about that type of teacher. I'm so blessed to have had Kempo Karchen Rinpoche as my guru, who was very kind, very authentic, very learned, very realized. But maybe my favorite trait of his was he was so damn humble. He was the humblest person I ever saw. So everyone, we still have a gathering called the 10-Day Teachings. And whenever we would gather, we all wanted to be just like him. I mean, no matter what a person would say to him, no matter our lack of devotion, our lack of doing our practices, he still loved us dearly. He still supported us. And I think every person that's his student can just tell story after story. I won't do that. I've already told too many stories. So when I think of my teacher, when I think of this chant, I can't help but think of my teacher, because I know he passed in October 2019, but his essence is still here. His teachings are still here. His kindness and his example are still here. And now it's even easier than ancient days, because we have so much technology. So I can see him again or hear his voice again. So we talked about going back to the definition of the name of this practice, calling the Lama from afar. And another word for Lama, or the Sanskrit word for it, would be, of course, Guru, which would mean venerable. But the Tibetans always like to make it very personal. It's always the highest of mothers. And then what I love particularly regarding the word afar, we're not talking so much about a geographical distance. We're talking about the distance of one's mind and the mind of their teacher in terms of awareness, of awakening. And I love that the fourth Jhana Rinpoche kept talking about pulling that together, bridging it together so that it is the same. And the very last section of this practice, our minds mix with the teacher, as it does in most guru yoga practices. And some would say this is actually a guru yoga practice, but I can't verify that. So anyway. So I thought for a few minutes I could play Lama Karma chanting this. I just want you to get a sense of how beautiful this sounds. This was done by Michael Erlewine, who is very good with recording things. Okay, here we go. So if you have a text, pull it out. We're going to just start chanting for a little bit. Okay, so that was an example of the tune. And halfway through the practice, everything shifts and the tune becomes very emotional, particularly at the very end. So that's to be. Next week we'll do that. So I thought I would now use the third Jhana Kanta Rinpoche's teachings, which are absolutely brilliant. They were done in Taiwan a little bit before he passed. And I feel that it's one of the best teachings I've ever seen on this practice. I've never seen anything else like this. And he walks through and he talks about the different parts, except they never go through the very first part, which is interesting. The first section, and I'm going to be speaking, this is all in English now. The first section is about 20-some stanzas, and they're all about the various teachers and their qualities. So I'm going to read just some of this to you, but I thought you might enjoy this. Here we go. And often when you hear people do this practice, they often repeat the first line twice. The first stanza, which is Lama Keno. Lama Keno means Lama hear me, Lama know me. So it begins, Guru, think of me. Oh, I forgot to mention. So the title of this is Crying to the Gurus from Afar. Some people call it Calling to the Gurus from Afar. But as some lamas have said, if you hear a Tibetan call, it sounds more like they're crying to the guru. So I think that I'm not sure if the traditional name is calling or crying. I think they're somewhat the same in Tibetan. And also there's a subtitle of intensity and devotion in one's heart. So, and then this is actually written in the text. This practice of crying to the gurus from afar is well known to everyone. The key to invoking blessings is devotion, which is aroused by sadness and renunciation. It should not be a mere platitude, but be born in the center of one's bones. Bones. With decisive conviction that there is no other Buddha who is greater than the Guru, recite this melodic tune. Guru, think of me. Kind root Guru, think of me. Essence of the Buddhas of the three times, sources of the holy Dharma and scripture and experience, master of the Sangha, the noble assembly, root Guru, think of me. Great treasure of blessings and compassion, source of the two attainments, bestower of whatever enlightened activity is desired, root Guru, think of me. And now we go through the enlightened and other teachers that are part of Jhamma Rinpoche. Now remember, Jhamma Rinpoche wrote this, so these are some of his contemporaries also. But first we begin with, the next is Guru Amitabha, think of me. Look upon me from the realm of Dharmakaya, free of elaborations. We have evil karma, wander in samsara. Lead us to the pure realm of great bliss, which would be Sukhavati. Guru Avalokiteshvara, this is the same Sanskrit word for Chenrezig. Think of me. Look upon me from the realm of Sambhogakaya, luminosity. Pacify completely the suffering of the six realms. Shake us from the depths of the three realms of samsara. Guru Padmakara, think of me. This is Guru Rinpoche, Padmasambhava. Look upon me from the lotus light of Chamara. We are wretched people without refuge in the dark age. Quickly protect us with your compassion. Guru Yeshe Sogyal, think of me. Look upon me from the celestial realm, the city of great bliss. Take us to commit evil deeds from the ocean of samsara to the great city of liberation. Gurus of the karma and dharma lineages, think of me. Look upon me from the wisdom realm of unity. Break through the dark dungeon of my confused mind and make the sun of realization arise. Omniscient Chumi Usir, who's Longchenpa, think of me. Look upon me from the realm of the five natural wisdom lights. Help me perfect great skill in the originally pure mind and complete the four stages of Ati Yoga, Mahamud, or Ma'ati. Incomparable Lord Atisha, Father and Son, think of me. Look upon me from the amidst 100 devas and tushita. Arouse in me bodhicitta, the essence of emptiness and compassion. The three supreme siddhas, Marpa, Milarepa, and Gampopa, think of me. Look upon me from the Vajra realm of great bliss. May I attain the supreme attainment of Mahamudra, bliss and emptiness, and awaken Dharmakaya in my heart. Karmapa, Lord of the world, think of me. Look upon me from the space where all beings everywhere are tamed. Help me to realize that all dharmas are insubstantial and illusory. Make appearance and mind dawn as the three kayas. Kagyus of the four great and eight lesser lineages, think of me. Look upon me from the realm of sacred outlook. Help me to clear away confusion in the fourth moment and complete my experience and realization. So it goes on like this. I have another page. And they're all very similar. It's what they were famous for teaching or for their realms or their activities. Then after this, the very last one, kind Guru, think of me. Look upon me from the top of my head to the abode of great bliss. May I meet my own mind, the face of Dharmakaya, and attain Buddhahood in a single lifetime. So I've had no instruction on any of that. I just want you to know. So some of the references, I'm not sure if I'd have to look up a little bit more. But I thought I would go on. So the way the text is organized is we always talk about the title. Then there's the supplication to the lineage holders and all of those that he refers to. Then the actual instructions. So they're broken into very simple parts. The first instructions are the four thoughts that turn the mind. And then over to this. And it's very brilliant how he goes through them. And I'll talk about them for a moment. And then, so this is not only a prayer of inspiration, but a prayer of great instruction. So he reminds us of what the four thoughts that turn the mind are. Then he goes into talking about the obstacles to practice, which are the eight worldly dharmas. He goes into them. Jhamrupa Rinpoche the third goes into them in great detail. And then after that are the antidotes. So I like how they always have antidotes for the eight worldly dharmas. And then at the very end is the supplication prayer, where our voices are completely altered. So I thought today, since I have about 15 more minutes, I would touch on one of the teachings that I love that Jhamrupa Rinpoche did. It's more to the back of this. It's part of the remedies. Since this prayer is all about devotion, I thought I would talk about devotion for a moment. So this is towards the very end of the actual supplicate, the whole prayer. And this category is on devotion. Our Lama is actually the appearance of the Buddha himself. But we take him to be an ordinary human being. Excuse me, I should redo that. Our Lama is actually the appearance of the Buddha himself, but we take him or her to be an ordinary human being. We come to forget the Lama's kindness in giving us profound instructions. We are upset if we don't get what we want. We see the Lama's activity and behavior through the veil of doubt and wrong views. Lama, think of us, behold us swiftly with compassion, and bless us free of obscuration. Our devotion increases. So I'm just going to say one thing here. Throughout one of the teachings, they said many times, it's very important that what the qualities of teacher are, and that you choose your teacher well. And if your teacher in any way has offended you physically or mentally or emotionally, many teachers say walk away, because they must not be the right teacher for you. And I'm so sorry for those that have had to go through that hardship, because this should be a sacred, joyful time, not a time of, I have to say, My teacher was very hard on me all the time because he knew how lazy I was. But in no way did he really hurt my in no way did he offend me. I remember one interview he once said, "I'm going to speak to you very harshly now. Is this okay?" I said, "Go for it." That was our relationship. Most of the time, Rinpoche was very, very gentle with me, and he knew I didn't learn well if someone just said, "Oh, you're one." I don't like when anyone compliments me. I want to know how I can improve. Now, a wonderful book. I asked Lama Adam yesterday about this, and I found this last night. A wonderful book by, I'm sorry, I'm giving you all these references, by Kenpo Karcher Rinpoche. Excellent at the beginning. He has two chapters in here about student-teacher relationship. And there's so many times when we've gone to him for teachings, and that's often one of the big questions that pops right up. So I thought I would actually do a reading, not from him, but going back to John Rinpoche III. I thought this was a very nice, what he wrote about the teacher. So this is, again, we're still in the one for devotion. This verse speaks about the importance of relying on a genuine Lama and on having unwavering devotion in them. In general, we can rely on various kinds of teachers, depending on the knowledge or level of practice we are pursuing. Some teachers are quite intelligent and provide us with lots of information. They are respected as ordinary teachers. Within the context of Vajrayana, a spiritual teacher is much more important than an ordinary teacher and is actually seen as a Buddha. Our root guru, who is also be called Sawe Lama, introduces us and transmits to us the ultimate nature of our mind, and through their blessing can cause us to attain ultimate realization of the true nature of all things. So I'm going to repeat that one more time. This is the teacher you're looking for, okay? If you don't have a teacher yet. Our root guru introduces and transmits to us the ultimate nature of our mind, and through their blessing, causes us to attain ultimate realization of the true nature of all things, i.e., the wisdom of all Buddhas. Since he or she has this ability, it will be the embodiment of all Buddhas of the three times, the past, present, and future. We often make the mistake and don't see our Lama in this way. As the first line says, we take the Lama to be an ordinary human being. I think I still have a little time. Continuing, as long as we haven't received Dharma teachings or practice instructions, we are eager to receive them from a qualified Lama. When we have what we have wanted, we forget who gave them to us. Some people even say, "I taught myself. I didn't need anybody." This is what is meant in the above line. We come to forget the Lama's kindness in giving us profound instructions. It can also happen that we are disturbed or become resentful if our Lama doesn't give us what we've asked for, which isn't the way it should be. It can happen that we are very happy when our Lama praises us for anything we do, and in response, we fold our hands to our heart and say, "I go for refuge in my Lama." But when he criticizes us, we turn away from him, and this is wrong. It is important to understand that our attitude and devotion needs to be uncompromising. So I think I'll just stop there. I didn't know if there were any comments or any questions today. So we have just a few minutes. And I also forgot to wish all of you Happy New Year. This is still within the first month. I always like to make sure you know it's still New Year's. Yay! So are there any questions? No. Okay. Well, I really hope that you take some time, and hopefully the next time I meet you, I'll be able to have a few more resources right in front of your face so we can chant together. But I think it's really nice to know that you can chant. I would print off the one from Rinpoche.com, from Chogyam Rinpoche's site, print off the prayer, do it in English. It's a beautiful prayer in English. That's how I say it most of the time at home, because that way it means more to me than I love Tibetan. Most of you know I love Tibetan language. But when it comes to a prayer this close to your heart and bone, you really need something. And I sometimes need a little inspiration. And this prayer is nothing but inspiration. And it goes through, it reminds me of all the profound teachings I have learned and been exposed to. It just in such an amazing way. And I think that sometimes we really need to be inspired. A lot of us are old-time students. We're like, yeah, I need to practice. I need to do this and that. Sometimes I need to be inspired. And I see the names of some of you out there. I know some of you have some really hard jobs. And this is the type of inspiration I need to be reminded of. And even though Kempo Karcham Rinpoche has left his body, he's still here, in my opinion. So when I do this practice, I visualize him and all my other lamas in front of me that have ever, you know, it's amazing how you can start thinking about how many people have actually touched our lives. I mean, this prayer goes back to what, the 1800s. And think about all of Chogyam Rinpoche's teachers and his teachers and behind them and just keep going. It's just astounding how inspiring this is. And so I wish you all well this week. And thank you for all that you all do. And let's spend one moment. Let's have a quiet moment of dedicating whatever merit was generated here today, particularly by you, by your patience and your kindness of being here. Let's spend a moment and be reminded of what amazing opportunities we all have had in our lives. We're not in a war-torn country. We're in a very peaceful place for the most part. Think of everything wonderful that you have and give it to everyone else. Let's dedicate the merit that way, particularly those in need at this time throughout the world. We'll just sit for a minute thinking of that. Thank you, everyone. It's really been lovely seeing you all today and seeing your names. I'm very, very grateful for you all being here. Thank you. And I hope that you all have a lovely week. And I hope that Lama Kathy is someone who's very precious to all of us. And many of you, she is your main teacher. So how can you best serve her? Practice. And of course, give to the center for building. I'm joking. Really practice. And realize that she's a very, very special person. I will tell this one story. I can't help myself. Excuse me. I'm supposed to be leaving right now, but let me tell this story. I wanted to go and teach yoga. I was a yoga teacher in Columbus back in the 80s. And I always saw this Buddhist building right near me where we lived in Clintonville. So my husband received refuge from Kempo Karcham Rinpoche. He said, oh, I can take you over there when they're doing a practice one night. Now, I knew Daryl Peters from work, and Daryl said, oh, yeah, they do this thing called Tara tonight. So I went over. Mama Kathy was all alone, just about ready to start practice, and was rather shocked at two strangers walking in. But she recognized Orville. And she had me sit down next to her, and she said, oh, this will be really hard to do. But you know, you could just sit down next to me and listen. And she's such a great instructor. I completely never got lost. And that's easy to do in Tara. I was most touched by her openness and kindness from that moment. And that was before retreat. She was a completely different person after retreat. Very, very changed. Very just so concerned about everyone's needs. So I offered the merit of Mama Kathy. She's really been instrumental, along with everyone else, of getting the building built and keeping the Dharma to flourish now. So thank you, Lama Kathy, and thank you, everyone, for your dedication to her. See you all later.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dharma Talk. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. To learn more about the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling or to donate to support our Dharma Talk series, please visit our website at columbusktc.org. The opening and closing music for the podcast is Tibetan Flute Song by Tamding Arts at tamdingarts.com. Please join us again next week for another Dharma Talk.